Miles out for entertainment. Episode 96 of the Mile High Show. We are on the road with I don't know what it is, but they stopped, so we'll just
Hey, does he drive better than he does intro music? He's not fully licensed for either.
I think we got a new theme song for the Mile High Show with Elliot and Zachary Yamamoto, my two nephews. We are on the road for episode 96 of the Mile High Show, and we are in Sassoon, California, for a little family vacation. And these two knuckleheads are playing my new theme song, which they just wrote about 5 minutes ago. So we're going to let them play out, and then we're going to talk about toys, music, superheroes, fried chicken, and the ugliness down the hall that they call bedrooms. So let's listen to them play. If they can play, I'm going to turn the volume up, and they're going to stop playing. I knew it! Right when I turned the volume up, you stop playing!
Start over.
Wait,
again.
You stopped
start from
me.
The top. Start from the top.
Okay. So I can... Try to be as professional as possible.
Oh, if you tried to be professional, people would automatically assume you're on a different show. Up now because the groupies are coming to the door. Okay, you can stop. And since you recorded it first here, that means I own the licensing, so I can.
Testing.
Zachary can count to three. How's that?
Wow.
Is that pretty good? Okay. So what's up? When did I see you guys last?
I think...
How long has it been?
Probably two and a half years. Yeah. Something like that. No, maybe two.
How old are you guys now? Elliot, tell me how old you are. Because I forget. Your mom was telling me, but I forget. He looks at his watch. Let's see.
17.
17 and 17 18ths and 35 minutes and 45.
Don't forget
why did you look at your why did you look at your watch
for the
to
date
tell me how old
sometimes
you
I
are.
Forget what date it is or what year and the date too apparently.
Jack, how
he
old
woke
are
up
you
from hibernation
how old are you?
20
years old.
20.
I have known you for how many years then? 20 and
maybe
20 years then.
Yeah,
I was there when you were born.
As oh, yeah, I remember
our
that.
Our whole family was. It was quite a traumatic day in San Jose. Where was he at, Rod? Good Samaritan? That was a big day for our family because you were the first actual, there was Cousin James who married in as a grandson, as a grandchild, but you were the first blood and guts grandkid. You okay, buddy? And that is probably the last blood and guts grandson. Oh, sheesh, here she comes. And what are you guys, 2 years apart?
Three years apart.
That's how we are, too. Me, Gabe, and Tony.
That's right. I forgot
apart.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So what do you guys do? I remember, because I worked a lot when you guys were little. And I remember every time we'd come to your house, when you guys were little, I would probably sleep like 80% of the time that we were there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
About what do you guys remember about being little? Where do you remember about growing up? What house?
I think a lot of time, because we lived in Livermore for a little bit, but I think I don't remember too much of that, just here and there.
Did you guys have a big field behind your place in Livermore?
No, we had a backyard with grass.
It was a pretty big backyard.
But was their houses directly behind you, or is that open field?
No, there was.
I don't think it'll reach.
It was a pasture.
I don't think your mom needs a microphone.
Oh. Yeah, she's loud enough.
We probably could have heard her from next door.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just pasture. Now, where were you? How old were you when you guys moved out of there?
When we moved here, I was 4 and he was 1.
Now, yeah, you didn't go from Livermore to here, did you?
Mm-hmm.
When were you in San Jose? Was that just when he was born? What's your first memories, Zach?
The earliest?
What's the first thing you remember? Because we've got proof to prove you wrong anyway.
Oh.
But we...
I mean, I remember a little bit at the Livermore house.
At the Livermore house, yeah. Just kind of...
Yeah, I remember playing with some toys and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember I had an Ernie toy from Sesame Street.
From Bert and Ernie?
Yeah, and because I didn't get a Buzz Lightyear yet, and that was like my first major toy that I wanted. So I got some Hot Wheel tracks, and I taped it to Ernie's body. Pretending he was Buzz Lightyear.
We have memories of Hot Wheel tracks too, but those are completely different memories.
Oh.
We don't like those. They're not really memories. They're flashbacks. And PTSD. What about you, Elliot? You come across at 3 years later.
Yeah.
From that fateful day in San Jose Hospital when there's a bunch of crazy people hiding in a waiting room.
When it all went south.
Huh?
From my parents' life when it all went south.
What's your earliest memories growing up?
Man, I'm not sure. I used to remember more when I was younger about... Like, really little, like...
It's because it was closer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gets worse as you get older and older. So by the time you're, like, 25, you won't remember, like, now.
Yeah, at all. It's just gone.
That's Anthony, in case you're forgetting.
I think, if anything, it was when we moved to Fairfield, just walking around the house and stuff, because how old was I when I... 1? Yeah,
wait,
a year
so
and a half.
So he was born when you were in Livermore?
Yeah.
Elliot was?
I don't remember too much from Livermore.
You remember when he came home?
Not really. I've seen videos of it, so I don't want to say I do because it's probably just the videos.
You don't know whether it's your memory
I don't really remember
the event
that.
Or the memory of watching it.
Yeah. I tried blocking that out.
Yeah. See, we don't have any home movies, do we? Did we?
No.
I don't remember any home movies at all. Yeah.
Bill Shaughnessy was over one night, and we were watching him, and it was a Mag when she was a baby.
I don't remember that. I remember finding a bunch of Vava's old ones, and some of them were all rotten, yeah.
Well, when Mom was little, I think they had the Nickelodeons.
You know, no, when she was little, my dad was into cameras a lot.
Oh.
He had the one... See, when I came around, it was like film and stuff.
Yeah.
When your mom was a little kid... The camera had the bird inside with the chisel and hammer.
Oh,
The Flintstone. The Flintstone camera.
Yeah.
Everything I know about when your mom was a kid is from History Channel. I'm a modern day child.
See, that's why their feet are all messed up from the car.
That's where all the calluses come from.
Actually, there was a car with a big hole in it, wasn't there? We used to drop stuff down here. So we were raised as litter bugs and. And watch it out the back window.
They paid him to paint the lines on the road. Is that what it was? Hold the brush down.
My dad always was taking pictures. He had like one of the really early Polaroid cameras.
Wow.
I still have the camera. It's up on top of our shelf at home. But he was really into photography. I didn't know this till later, much later. But when he was a kid and a teenager and growing up in San Leandro...
he had a dark room in their garage, and I didn't know that till after I was already in the business. Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess I got kind of that from him because I was very, and still am, very into photography. And I know your dad, both your mom and dad, were both, but it kind of skipped you a little bit. And Elliot kind of inherited it.
Yeah.
Get out now. It's nothing but trouble and headache. But you guys are both really artistic. And as we heard in the intro for the first 20 minutes of you guys, we'll cut some of that out. But you guys are both very musical as well as artistic because you both draw really well. Is that more of a Zachary
thing?
That's
definitely more of a Zach thing.
I've been trying to get into the digital art thing now. I just kind of got slowly starting to learn a little bit.
I hear you got a really nice style. Oh, sore subject. Too soon. Too soon. He's been looking through the entire house and trips back to work and in his car and in his everything. Your stylist. Yeah. It'll turn up.
Yeah, I don't know where that went.
The pit of no return. But your dad was really into photography. We've been looking. Sandra's been looking through the album, seeing some stuff from recent and you guys growing up in that, but also some of his much older stuff from when he was younger. A lot of the photography he did, and he played a lot of music. Were you guys always playing music around the house?
I think we grew up with it. More because
you're really sticking that thing. You took to heart. Nobody ever listens to me. I like that. Nobody ever listens to me, and he's listening to everything I said. That's good.
Dad used to play the guitar and everything when we were little. I mean, it always like kind of appealed to us because of that. But I didn't actually want to actually pick up guitar until I was 14. I think is
why
when I started. I tried before, but I didn't have the patience for it, and I didn't really make a connection. Like, for me to really get into something, I have to be able to see myself doing it in a way that appeals to me.
So, do you mean that literally? Like, you sat in front of the mirror with your guitar?
Yeah, I just kind of posed around until I could see myself on stage with
them. Let me see your guitar face. What's your... I had really bad Mexican food face. That's
good. There's a fine line.
So guitar is your instrument? Watch it.
I like a variety of instruments. I kind of keep open-minded because I like a variety of music.
Yeah. What else do you play?
We took piano lessons a little bit. I kind of mess around with that. Drums was the first instrument that I tried to learn.
Just pull it on over, Elliot. That's all right. Drums was your first?
Yeah. We got a drum set from... it was actually from... Yeah.
Did you get it from Gabe's?
Yeah.
That old Skins one?
Yeah, we still have it.
Oh, nice, nice. Your Uncle Gabe, almost your former Uncle Gabe, sent us a little present a couple years ago. You know what he sent Anthony?
What's that?
A drum set.
We
almost lost Uncle Gabe. he's real musical. Eve, did you ever play anything? Instrument-wise, Gabe could just pick up stuff and kind of tinker and make tunes. He's got an ear for it. Was Dan? I don't remember Dan playing anything. When I was in second or third grade, was the first time they offered musical instruments to kids in elementary school.
Yeah.
And I begged. I don't know why. But I really, really wanted to play saxophone. So I begged mom and dad, please let me take saxophone. They kept saying, nope. No time, no money. Please let me take it. And I begged them for weeks. And then finally they said, okay, you can play saxophone. So I go to school. I got the permission slip. And I go to school and I said, they're all out of saxophone. So I just went home. My dad goes, where's your saxophone? I said, they were all out. And he goes, well, go back. You're getting something. You begged us for so long. You're going to play something. So I go back. They didn't have anything. They had one spot for violin.
Oh, violin.
And I just didn't want it. He goes, no, you begged. You're going to play. And they didn't have it. So he had to go rent a violin. And then because he rented it, he made me take it. And I did not want to do it. Tony, we were talking about the Martinez's. Tony Montoya. He made so much, but he kept, I didn't even know who it was. He kept calling me Jack Benny, and I didn't know who Jack Benny was. But he made so much fun of me, and my dad, nope, you got to practice. And I was terrible because I didn't have the patience. I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't have the patience for it.
Especially with violins, kind of like that technical instrument that
you need.
Is it very difficult to play?
I have never tried it myself,
because I mean, and I'd like to blame it on the actual instrument instead of me.
It is.
Oh, well, I won't mention that 3 year old on YouTube I saw playing.
Yeah.
Was he Chinese?
We're not going to get into that.
I'll leave that up to the discernment of the listener.
But
didn't show his face.
They made me play, and I was horrible. So I didn't practice. I didn't want to practice. I didn't want to play. And then we were getting ready. It was weeks in, and we were getting ready for the first recital at school. Anthony, don't climb up there, buddy. Don't climb up there. And I wasn't practicing. I was just terrible. So I would like hold the bow over the strings and not even play it in the back.
Just pretend like
we were getting close to the recital. And my dad, he worked nights, and he made me practice in front of him. And I played for like 2 or 3 minutes. And he was like, and he looked at me and goes, okay, you don't have to play anymore. It was terrible. Oh. It was terrible. What are you doing? Don't kick your mom.
I'm trying to get her to close the door.
Why?
It's all those fireworks going on.
It's all right. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Watch out, buddy. We'll be done in a minute. This is a shorty one.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was never musical at all.
Oh, I see.
Still horrible. It amazes me. Actually, you mentioned Cooper. I talked to Cooper one day, and I'm just amazed that people can. Well, you guys were doing last night. You're playing, but you're talking and kind of
like
it's almost like you're not even paying attention. But of course, you are. And he used to tell me stories about when he was in bands. Because he played professionally.
Yeah.
And some of the things they would do way back when you know, your brain's not even working. You're not even concentrating.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do people play like that? And he goes, well, it's the same thing. You take pictures. He goes, do you think about every shot you do? And I'm like, no, you kind of do it naturally.
Yeah. It becomes such a habit ingrained that it's like second nature, kind of.
But music, I just never, I can't even comprehend how you can play something without paying attention to every single thing you're doing. And when I watch people play music to make it look so effortlessly, it blows me away.
Mm. It's kind of like when you see stuff live.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the guys are kind of running around.
Yeah, and they're talking to each other.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just going at it.
Music is, if you got to think to play the music, it won't happen.
So I should be good at lots of stuff because I don't think when I do lots of things.
I'm feeling. You got to feel the music. That's when it comes.
Yeah, it's a whole nother part of your brain that does that. Yeah, and I don't have that. So drums, guitar. What do you mainly guitar now? Is that your?
Just until recently, I picked it up when we were doing that little music festival thing just for fun with those friends. Like I kind of just picked it up again from then because I haven't really touched it in a little bit.
Why bass with you, Elliot? What's up with the bass? What?
Well, like Zach said, we both took piano lessons. I'm not sure. No, drums was definitely the first thing for me. I really wanted to learn the drums, and I did. And then Zach kind of started, and he was kind of always in there. And so I was like, okay, you know, I'll try something else. And then Dad was really wanting us to learn how to play guitar, and at that time I couldn't really move my fingers. Like, you know, where they're supposed to go. It was just too hard for me at the time. My hands were too small. They weren't strong enough. So I was like, you know what, whatever. And then I'm not entirely sure when I first found out about the bass guitar. But when I did, something about it just, like, clicked with me. I was like, wow, that's interesting. It's, you know, like a couple octaves lower than a regular guitar. It has 4 strings, you know.
That's what I thought until I saw yours with 6 strings.
Yeah.
I still think that's another story. You're lying and you just got bigger strings on a regular guitar. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
But
I'm going to go home because I interview a lot of musicians. Uh-huh. I'm going to go home and go, hey, yeah, my nephew uses a six string. There's no such thing. He put the wrong strings on a guitar. He lied to you.
Well, to confuse you even more, there's some guitars now that's becoming real popular with small bass strings on them.
Too. Yeah. That's really weird.
Yeah.
All right, this is over. Yeah. No. I interviewed a guy a couple weeks ago who does. He makes his own guitars, like as a hobby, wow, but he also sells them.
Oh, out of cigarette boxes.
Cigar box guitars, and he also does license plate guitars. They're electric, but it's the way the different boxes, because he goes like antique stores and stuff, and just goes shopping garage sales. And he said certain boxes have different sounds, and then the age of the license plates, because of the thickness of the metal, tweak it a little bit more. But he has a couple a bunch of them that are like two string, three string. They're like the old Delta blues style, but he makes them and just tweaks them a little bit. He played a little bit. It was interesting to watch. Older guy, retired guy. He just kind of does it for fun, but he makes a little extra on it, you know. But it's just neat. It's almost for me, not knowing how to play and not being a musician. You see a bass four string or these cigar box ones that Jack Osborne is his name, that he makes like two string, three string. They just look like so stripped down. It's like, well, that must be easy to play. And then you watch people play them that are really good, and you're blown away. It's like this. This is really intricate, really detailed.
Well,
on a very what appears to be a basic instrument.
Yeah, but what I was always telling people is when I first got when I was thinking about getting a six string bass, a lot of people were like, "Oh wow, you must be really good." But it's like, yeah, I'm okay. But really, it's like, you know, whether it's a four string bass or a six string bass, you can be horrible at either one.
Yeah,
it's. The talent you have to bring with the instrument, that's what it's all about. But, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot like, you know, you see guys running around with top-of-the-line cameras. And I always hate that when people come up to me at jobs and go, oh, wow, you must have a real... I saw some of your pictures. You must have a really good camera. maybe, no. Just, you know, I can shoot stuff with a cell phone that looks pretty good. You can... Put the top of the line stuff in a monkey's hand.
Exactly.
And, and then you see a monkey taking really good pictures, and it just gets me angry. What's that old joke? Infinite number of monkeys. Put an infinite number of monkeys in a room with an infinite number of typewriters. They'll eventually write Shakespeare. You never heard that? That's an old line. It's kind of like, you know, you get an infinite number of monkeys, give them top of the line cameras. Pretty soon they're kicking out Ansel Adams photo shoot. Then I'll be out of a job again.
I think that's what sets the people who are truly stand out and really good at stuff. A lot of people who are not really good at certain things, and they're kind of jealous of those people. They kind of find all these excuses, you know.
Am I making excuses?
Well, no, not a monkey can't
keep
do
it up.
Your job.
Keep it up. I'll hit you with my violin. I still got it squirreled away somewhere. Them rental charges are really up there, too.
Hey, well, I've always wanted to learn how to play the violin. So.
I'm from Arizona. They call it a fiddle. All right. What about your
town?
Now, you guys lived in Arizona for a little bit. When did you guys move out there?
2005.
So, how old were you guys then?
I was 10.
I was 6.
Man, was it that long ago already?
Oh yeah, it was a while ago.
And then back here,
that was
California.
A lot of jumping around, a lot of on the road.
Yeah.
Too many times on the road.
That's a long up and back. We did it this week.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we've got a little extra time here. Usually when we come to California, it's boom, 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 and here we got some time. We're going to be able to kick back.
Yeah, that's, I mean, being on the road like that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. You know what else it takes a lot out of? The people that are driving with you. I'm not the easiest traveling companion. I'm a really bad traveling companion. We did a trip last year for work to Colorado, and that's a long, it's like 18 hours if you drive straight. And if I'm driving, not so bad, because I can keep myself occupied. If I'm a passenger and I'm not sleeping, I get really claustrophobic. And I was, you ever been like so tired you can't sleep?
Yeah.
You're like fidgety. And if you're in a bed or in a couch or something a little different, but sitting up or, you know, not comfortable.
Everything's
in the car,
uncomfortable.
It was miserable. It drove Sandra nuts. It got to the point we were stopping like every half hour, every 40 minutes. It was ugly. It was bad. And I was miserable. She was miserable. Anthony was just staring at me. But it was a really long trip. So I'm really glad this go around we're able to spend some time and relax. And
so you started losing your sanity as you're hearing voices.
That was like in 78, 79. I think that happened. A long time ago.
You've learned how to cover it over now.
Yeah. So you guys had a little gig with your dad the other night.
Oh, yeah.
How many did you play? What did you play? Just a couple songs? Or
Oh, we just played one jam that we came up with the night before. Yeah. Just a little something. It was a good friend of ours, and he really wanted us to play. So it was relaxed. It wasn't like a concert or show.
Just for fun.
Yeah, everyone just came up there and threw something together.
Hand that to your dad. Hand that to your dad. Don't pull it too tight. Now, what did you used to play, Rod?
The guitar.
But like you were playing, he's smack him in the face.
You gotta pull it closer.
I played some bass. I played.
But you were doing like gigs and stuff. Was it just for friends, or were you actually going out gigging?
Yeah, we were gigging. We got some money for it. You know, it wasn't much, but it was fun.
Was that something you ever thought about trying to do professionally, or was it strictly an artistic exercise for you?
Yeah, it was pretty much artistic, an adventure, you know, and expression of your talents, you know.
I interview a lot of musicians who do it for a living, who do it for fun, who just do it. I got one guy that I work with pretty regular, and he goes, I do it because I have to do it. I got to have a way to express myself. How important was it for you to see, or how, I don't want to say important, but why did you think it was good for your sons to have a musical outlet?
Well, here's the thing. What it does, music, is it's a certain development, and it kind of builds character, because what it does for you is it's a challenge. It's really a challenge to, you know, your goal is to master the fretboard if it's a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, your goal is to make music not only by yourself, but the challenge is to include other talents. You know, you can be individually good, but you may not be able to play with anybody else. So the challenge comes when you group up this talent and to produce one solid sound.
Yeah.
And that's really a challenge. So when you get to that point, it's like you want to perform. You want to play. Mm.
I like how he waits to say, it's, you know, music really builds character. After I just told him I couldn't play a lick. I like that. That's that little backhanded. You might want to get a kazoo.
Yeah, man.
Here's a comb and some tissue, because we're a little worried about you, Matt. I think that's where that was going. Man.
I like that.
So where do you guys want to keep playing? Is that something that you just enjoy doing for fun?
I think it'll always be there for me. Even if I, at times when I stop playing, I mean, as far as listening and all that, that never goes. That's always, even in terms of how I think, when I don't have anything, a lot of times I think of music or certain sounds, because it kind of changes a whole atmosphere for depending on the mood and everything, and it can do it for the better or for worse, but it's kind of always there.
Yeah. Give me a couple of favorite. Don't think too much about it. Give me a favorite song. Something that you can listen to all the time.
Recently, it's been Black Star by Yngwie Malmsteen. It's a pretty neat, very technical.
Not the normal music of a 20-year-old. That's a deep.
Yeah, I'm very, very wide though in my genres of listening. Yeah. But that's one I really enjoy lately. It's a good song.
What about you, Elliot?
One that I've been listening to lately is New Millennium by Dream Theater.
I don't know what that is.
It's it kind of like Zach.
Where's my phone? I gotta Google.
It's very. They're a very technical band. They're a progressive, alternative metal or progressive rock band. But
you know what I downloaded today? Huh? Partridge Family's Greatest Hits.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I do because I listen to kind of some odd stuff. I'm as the youngest of five. I listened to what my older brothers and sisters, and before that, what my mom and dad were listening to. So as a kid, I mean, I listened to Sinatra, big band stuff. My dad used to play one album that he would play really loud on our hi-fi. It was the 2001 Space Odyssey, and then he would flip it over, flip another one. We had the old record players. They're the really big black CDs.
Yeah,
that's what we used to play. And he had where you would stack them up, and then you know would play one side and drop it. And it would go from 2001 Space Odyssey to Sound of Music soundtrack to I don't know what were some of the other ones he had. Eva, do you remember? Yeah, Tijuana Brass was on there. What was that other one? It was Popcorn. It was like there was just a lot of different stuff. And then, you know, in the car, it was like old doo-wop 50s and then surf music and whatever else was on the radio. And then through... I remember the very first concert I ever went to, do you remember, Eva?
Osmonds.
The first one I ever went. Now we saw music played like at the fair or something like that. Yeah. The very first concert I ever went to was War Galaxy. We went to the Circle Star Theater, and do you remember who opened for them? I looked it up because I remember, and I thought I remembered it wrong. It was George Duke. And you remember who was playing?
Sheila E.
Was playing percussions when she was like 16 years old.
Wow.
Sunshine Balloon. It was before the, but that was more like fair type stuff. But so I grew up listening to music that my, you know, older siblings and neighbor kids, because I was always like the youngest one in the neighborhood too. So it was a big mix of different stuff. So when I was, you know, seventh, eighth grade, when you start doing your own music and, you know, buying, you know, well, now it's downloading or whatever. Whatever you kids do now with music. But, you know, we would go and buy 8-tracks, buy LPs. And the very first piece of music I ever bought, I actually bought at a thrift store. And I bought it with my own money. It was a it was an 8-track tape of the Rolling Stones, Goat's Head Soup, which now I wouldn't even let my kid listen to. And it's like, I don't know what it is. But it was, I remember Angie was on. That was the song that was like the single off of it. But when I was, you know, in school, I always was listening to stuff that nobody else, none of my classmates knew, because it was always older stuff that I had. So I had a real like weird mix of music.
That's pretty...
from real poppy top 40 bubblegum stuff to show tunes and old big bands that my mom would listen to and a bunch of different stuff. And people ask me sometimes, what's your favorite music? And you know what? It all, for me, it all depends on what I'm doing. I've got some stuff that I love to listen to when I drive. And it's, you know, blues. And some of it has to do with where I am driving. I remember when we lived in Gilroy, when I would, I worked a lot of nights and stuff, so I'd drive through like downtown San Jose and stuff to different job sites in the middle of the night. So it's, you know, like Main Street, the neon lights and bars and cafes and stuff. And I loved having Tom Waits playing old bluesy jazz Tom Waits from the late 70s, early 80s. And then in the daytime when I'd be driving home, you know, off of, you know, through Morgan Hill into Gilroy, and it was just, you know, like the pastures and the farm stuff, I'd love listening to like Springsteen or like John Mellencamp or like, you know, some older folk. Or
I think a lot of it too is like what you attach to certain, like based off of memories you had when you first heard a song or something like that. That for me is a big part of it too.
I depending kind of on the mood. And then there's some stuff that I love, and then I'll hear, you know, a year, 2 years, even months later and go, "Ugh, what's that?" And then you hear it again and you're, "Hey, I like it." Guilty pleasure in music.
Oh,
guilty pleasure, something that you don't want anybody to know you like.
Say it.
Let me think.
I got one.
Go ahead.
I thought it was the dumbest song ever. You catch yourself humming. And I was talking to a buddy, he does a podcast in the Bay Area, and we were talking about it not that long ago. I forget his name now. Ricky Martin, La Vida Loca. That's a catchy tune. when nobody's looking. So what's something that you sing, you bop your head to when nobody's looking?
Do you have one, Zach? Because I kind of...
I think, for me, it's kind of like, it's in a way of that a lot of people kind of turn to me and like, "You like that?" But it's because it's a radio band that's on the radio a lot. And it's kind of like, for me, it's always been, I never even touched any of that kind of stuff. Because for me, it was kind of like... You know,
hang out with old people.
Like a garage band threw together, like no talent kind of stuff. Yeah. Usually, but it's 21 Pilots, and it's a song called "Ride."
I have to get Google. Yeah,
that
too.
It's kind of like, and a lot of girls, like teenage girls, are into it, and it's kind of like, you know,
all of their fans.
Yeah,
are
so
like,
I don't know what it is, but I know all their fans.
Yeah,
well, that's how I found out about them. My friends.
Okay,
that
what's yours?
16-year-old. I was just gonna. I don't think I have like a guilty pleasure thing.
Everything I listen to is superb.
Yeah,
Captain Beefheart.
But I don't know. To me, it seems like
he's got like six Archie's 45s.
Sugar, sugar. I don't really like to do that because it's like if it's something that you're like, "Oh, I hope no one catches me seeing this or listening to this." I don't know. It feels like music should be, if you enjoy it, enjoy it.
I think like turning that into something humorous is a lot more entertaining, like something that would catch somebody surprised. Like, what is it? He's listening to that and kind of just throw it
totally
out there.
Owning
like,
it.
Yeah, I'm jamming it. Yeah. There's no turning back.
Right.
So can you guys sing? Who's the better singer?
No, I don't really mess around with that.
No?
Mom,
not even loud in the shower.
No, I mean, I like humming and stuff to different tunes and stuff, but sometimes I use it to kind of figure it, like on a guitar or something, just kind of humming until I can match the tone a little bit.
I used to live in an apartment in Concord that had really, really thin walls, and the neighbor lady complained that I was singing in the shower one time. She stopped me outside. "Can you keep it down?" I thought she meant like parties at night. She
goes,
"No, those don't bother me, but you're singing."
Oh.
Thanks, lady.
Yeah, singing, I've never really touched that too much. I just stick to the strings.
Yeah. Sticking to the strings. That's the name of his first album. Elliot Yamamoto, sticking the
instrumental,
strings.
No vocals.
Yeah, no vocals.
Okay, what's the worst thing about you? This is confession time, and you can't say your room because that's kind of a given.
This is going to be a long podcast.
Okay, wait, no, this is better. What's the worst thing about your brother?
Are you really doing this?
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say,
twice
like,
as long.
A lot of the stuff that gets on my nerves about Zach is just simply because he's my brother and like it's like things that just are repetitive.
Oh, no, no.
Like,
those things get on everybody's
mind. I thought
it's
that was my charm.
Your charm.
No, but yeah, we don't really get upset at each other or get like on each other's nerves unless it's like we just argue about like
just
stupid
regular
stuff.
I think that's
stuff.
What's funny
right,
is we
yeah.
get in the most heated debates over the dumbest
it's
things.
Over pointless stuff.
I remember we had this one that we were just like going crazy over, and it was like this debate over it was about like physics with birds.
With giant birds.
Yeah, if birds were bigger, would their reflexes be as fast as they are when they're small?
No, it was really
and
ridiculous.
What was the result?
I think we kind of just had a walk away.
We're just
throwing tables upside down and stuff.
Yeah, well, it started. We got something to eat, all four of us. Yeah.
With the chicken?
Wherever. No.
Is that how the bird discussion came about?
But we got the food, or we, me and Zach were like sitting down waiting for the food to come. We started talking about it, and we continued on.
Birds on the
ground, and we continued on while we were eating and walking,
food's
getting
flying
up,
out throwing, of our mouths.
Yeah, walking back to the car, and in the car was where we were like, oh, you know, forget about it.
What's your favorite song to play?
To play?
Yeah. Can you play that? What'd you call it? What was the name?
I know the intro to that on acoustic a little bit.
What can you guys play
together?
Yeah, together. Mm.
Well, we learned like the Crazy Train intro. We just learned little intros, and like we used to play the Iron Man one a little bit, like just messing around. But
that fits. You guys are both.
You mentioned two Ozzy songs.
Yeah. Didn't they use that in the movie?
I think.
Which one?
Like in the credits?
I would imagine they probably would have.
Oh, they used it for like the Iron Man superhero. Because
you guys are both like superhero nuts.
Kinda, yeah. He is. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You drew a really cool Batman on the tablecloth at the restaurant today. I sure hope they don't find out who was sitting there. Because I signed my name on it. They let us draw on those.
I thought it was a canvas. I signed my name on it.
That wasn't vandalism. That was artwork. So what can you guys play straight through?
Well, straight through.
I
never got that far.
It's kind of I learn a lot of songs by myself, but it usually involves more like instruments and things like that than we all have and we can play together. So usually when it's me or Zach, or me, Zach, and my dad, it's usually us just jamming and coming up with our own.
It's usually our own stuff. Actually, what's kind
of
funny is
my dad's own original material. Yeah.
Originals only, man. Yeah. That keeps ASCAP off your back. Yeah. You're good. We're not getting shut down.
I think that's what's kind of interesting. Is to me, that never appealed so much, learning covers to stuff, where people who first learn instruments, they just want to learn songs and stuff like that, which is fine. But for me, it was kind of always like,
techniques.
Where can I take this like on my own and like just practice different stuff? And
So who's the best at voiceovers? Because we got to do a commercial.
Oh, man.
We got to do a commercial and then close this up.
Okay.
I'll do it.
You can? Okay, here, let me pull it up.
That sounds kind of fun, actually.
Okay, you can both do it.
All right.
Oh, you got it. That's the problem with phones.
What's the commercial for?
Here, I'll show you in a minute. That's the problem with phones and big fingers like I have.
They don't gel together good?
Well, no. Sometimes you type things up, and then you really got to clear your search. It's like, no, that's not what I meant. Like just now. No, there you go. Okay. Here, this is the best place for barbecue in Chino Valley. You got to read the name of it.
Okay.
And you got to read the hours, so you look on there, and then you got to give the website. Don't worry about a phone number because it's Chino Valley. Nobody really has phones.
Let's see. Okay.
And then say something really good about the food.
Location?
Well, you got to say who it is
there
first.
Oh, man. Wait, what was the... All right, let's see.
You got to say who it is first.
Okay. We got Big Daddy E's Smoking Barbecue. And it's in 380 Butterfield Road, Chino Valley, Arizona.
Right behind the Chase
86-323.
It's a zip code. I've never heard it quite said in that cadence before. That's like somebody who gives out a phone number. 928237. It kind of got a pattern to it. You
got to spice it up just like these ribs right here.
Okay. And those are some good pictures of ribs, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder who took them
right now. Oh.
Okay, so it's Big Daddy E's Barbecue in Chino Valley. When are they open?
Tuesday through Friday.
11 a.m. to 5.
11 a.m.
Till after dinner. I forget what time they close.
Till after dinner.
Whatever that is.
Well, it's past my bedtime, so I never stay up.
They're really good, and they have live music on the patio.
Ooh.
Every Friday from 4:30 to 6:30 with great acts like Sky Conwell. Leslie Earl Lyman, who's a musician, not a serial killer. Everybody with three names should be a serial killer. He looks like one. Paul T. Morris goes out there, P.K. Gregory, bunch of folks. Okay, go ahead. What's the website?
So the website is bigdaddyease.com.
Eric's going to ask for his sponsor money back after he hears this ad.
Nice job, Zach.
And the tagline is, good stuff to stick in your face. That's not really, but I've started saying like that, so that's
that
my
should
new
be it.
So
maybe they'll buy that from you.
BigDaddyEase.com. Big Daddy Ease Barbecue behind Chase Bank in Chino Valley. Live music every Friday afternoon.
So you had to do it again,
and
Zach.
Really good stuff to stick in your face.
I like how it's in Spanish.
What?
I think that's Spanish. It's definitely not English.
Oh, man, we're in the wrong website again. I better clear my history.
Whoa.
All right, guys, play something. Oh, wait, I forgot to say something. Elliot's going to do his own podcast soon. Who are you doing your podcast with?
Just me and a couple of my friends getting together. Not sure if we're going to upload it anywhere, but... For right now, it's just for fun. It's just for fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those podcasts nobody listens to.
Right.
I already got one
of
those.
Well, no. it's just to sort of document, like, for future use to look back on how we interacted with each other and stuff like that.
When they go through my legacy.
Yeah. In my autobiography.
Hey, I'm convinced when I'm dead, I'm going to be well respected and famous. How's that?
That's not what I meant at all. Hold on.
All right, I'm going to kill this mic. We're going to let them play. Thanks to the Yamamotos for letting us sleep in their house and eat all their food. This podcast, episode number 96, was brought to you by freeloaders all over the world.